Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On this week's episode of Barbecue and Tech, let's talk about how you can save a little money on your next big cook or just for your daily meals. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner in crime co-hosts, Chris Ashley. What up, dog?
What's up? What's up? What's up? Shout out to all the people supporting the show. I love seeing the messages on Instagram. I love getting the messages on Discord. Hit us up anywhere. We actually love having these conversations. We love seeing what you guys are cooking. Man, there is some gorgeous briskets and smoked food on our Discord, man. If you're not in there checking that stuff out, man, you need to get up in there. The guys, Ken, Eric, those guys, all those cats in there, they're putting out some, they're really making some really cool barbecue, some good looking food, man. It's really good to look at. And of course, you can, by all means, please follow us on Instagram. All the food we cook generally goes on Instagram, updates about the shows and the new episodes come out, that goes on Twitter. And then on Discord is where we kind of, family up and share recipes, ideas, discounts we're finding as far as food is concerned, and then pictures of what we're smoking. So, folks, check that stuff out. It's definitely good to get in to the fam. The show's growing. We're excited about that. We got a whole bunch of cool stuff coming. We're about to receive our first test smoker within the next week or so. I'm super excited for that because one of the first smokers we're going to test is another. We're going to test the gravity smoker first. And it's really, I'm excited for that because, new folks that are listening to the show, I have a gravity smoker. It's what I use primarily. I spent a ton of money on it but it's great. And so being able to test another version from another manufacturer, contrast to compare features, I'm really, really excited about that. There's a couple of devices that I'm super excited for. One of them is it's like a remote battery pack. So if you're out, maybe tailgating or something and you want to power up your controller for your smoker, this thing will do it for you. So there's a bunch of things that the guys over at Mason Dixon are letting us borrow and test. So it's, we got some really cool things we're about to be talking about from the tech side of the house. Just as a follow up, you guys have been hearing me rambling on about doing this smoked chicken and waffle, and it's evolved quite a bit since the last episode and, the last couple of times. I'm almost making this thing two or three times a week now because I feel like once I am getting very close to something, I just keep making it more and more and more. So, the initial pictures were, open faced, of the chicken and waffles. And while they looked good, especially as I started to thin out the sauce and let it drizzle more, it just didn't pop. To me, at least, as far from a visual standpoint. And
you didn't have that Emeril Lagasse bam.
I didn't have a bam. And but just also, it's not, it looks good for a barbecue fiends like the folks listening to this show, but maybe not as much for like regular people. They're like, oh, that looks interesting. It's interesting for regular people, looks good for people like us. But all I did now recently was I started to slice the chicken instead.
Yep.
And I sliced it at an angle. And then you get a little bit of outside or crusting or crust on the both sides, and you have that nice meat in the middle, and then lay it out across the waffle. That started to look a little bit better because now, you know, I'm using some of my culinary skills. And then the next step, what I started doing was like realizing that this thing looks better as a sandwich than an open faced dish. So now I started cutting the waffles on their triangles and slicing it off and then making sandwiches out of it instead. Now the cool, and then it looks good, looks way more appetizing now for everybody. And it's kind of a fun experience to eat, right? Because, you know, a waffle is not going to, unless you have like one of those Eggo waffles that just like hard as a rock, they're not going to crumble a little bit on you. But like, these Belgian waffles, they'll crumble on you a bit.
Are you still using that crustini, whatever?
Crusties?
Crusties, yeah.
Yeah, man, this stuff is good. It's really good. And in fact, I will make my own batter, though. I will make my own batter and do a comparison to see which one I like the best. But the crusties,
you're going to be shocked when you...
I've made plenty of batter before. Not new. Not new to the game.
I know. I'm trying to harken you to 30 years ago versus. I know, but, we've all done a lot of stuff in our past, but like, good gracious, were you and I talking about your lack of love of surprises when your wife sent me like, yeah, we're having a party for Chris. And I was like, oh, I can't tell him it's a surprise party. Because like, you didn't say anything to me.
I mean, I figured you'd get an invite. So, you know, but
well,
yeah,
I didn't look at the invite. So I saw it and I was like, all right, I got to get to this. And then our mutual friend said something to me about it. And I was like, yeah. And then you said something to me this morning. I was like, oh, it's not a surprise. And I always forget. I'll say the scars from your childhood as to why you don't like surprise parties. Oh, dear God. You should take a quick moment before we get into cost savings and tell this story.
Well, I'm not the only one on earth who doesn't like surprises. I don't like surprises. If you want, if my wife wants to have a party for me, have a party, but I don't want to walk in the door and see a bunch of clowns. Surprised? Were you surprised? Because most times, my wife can't keep anything from me. It's just... She doesn't wear it well. And I'm always skeptical of everything. So, I'm always on guard with stuff. But more importantly, I just hate surprises. And most of that stems from my childhood because, like many others, I grew up in a, pretty religious family. And my mom being Jamaicans have this thing where, you have this set way of life. And then if we're going to do something, you better be damn happy that we did something different because it was for your benefit. And as a kid, you're just like, yeah, of course you're happy about it. But at the same time, you're like, you're a parent. You're supposed to be doing stuff like this. So, my mom, God bless her. She worked two jobs for 30 years. My dad worked two jobs, hardworking family. And, every Sunday was church day. We all, get up in the morning, get dressed. And I live in Maryland and we went to church in DC. So it was a haul to get to the church, but that's where all the Jamaicans were that we knew. So one day, we're driving down and, regular path. And for you, Rod, we get to the old stadium store in, on Veers Mill Road in University. No, is that University? Yeah, University Boulevard, right on the corner. Used to be like the Redskin store.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. No one else is going to know. So keep going.
But just for you. But so my mom pulls in there. So, but the reason why I'm bringing it up is because this is weird, right? She pulls into the parking lot and she's waiting. And then all of a sudden, my uncle pops out of a car, and he's like, got my cousin in the car with him. And she was like, go have fun. That's all she said. Right. Go have fun. And I was like, okay. And my uncle was like, come on. So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, so I jump in the car with him. He doesn't say anything to me.
I mean, it was you and your brothers all jumped in, right?
No.
Oh, this was just you.
Just me.
Okay.
So, I get in the car and we're driving. I'm just talking to my cousin. We're yapping. And all of a sudden we end up at the old RFK stadium. So I'm like, oh, he was like, yeah, we're going to the game today. So I'm like, oh, cool. You know what I mean? And I look down and I've got church shoes on, church slacks on, shirt tie, going to a football game, you know? So I'm just like, all right, well, I'm going to have a fun time at the game, but a little notice would have been better. I could have worn sneakers. So,
or at least, mom, if you know you're doing this, why don't you sneak some in my closet clothes and grab me a change of clothes?
So I'm like, okay, honest mistake, but I appreciate the effort. I'm a good kid. I'm going to have a good time and had a great time. You know, RFK Stadium was legendary. So fast forward a couple years later, one Sunday, we're in the car. We're all heading to church. And this is now me and my brothers, you know, we're all decked out, ready to go. And then my mom enters the highway and was like, well, that's odd. We never take the highway, you know, but whatever, we're yapping and, you know, going at each other, whatever, like brothers do. My mom drives all the way to an amusement park in the area. People on the East Coast knows a Wild World. I think now a lot of people know it as Adventure World. So bunch of rides, but what is the main thing they're known for, Rod?
Water park. The water park.
So it's like, oh, cool. He's just like, you know, hey, you guys, let's go have a good time. You know, blah, blah, blah. And so here we are walking into an amusement park. Half the amusement park. No, 70% of this amusement park is a water park. And they had just released the Wild Wave, the biggest wave swim pool on the East Coast. And we got to sit there and watch everybody have a great time because we were all in church shoes, church slacks, shirt and tie, not a bathing suit amongst any of us. Not a single one.
Oh, God.
So we rode the four rides that they had that were regular rides that we didn't get wet on. Right. And we walked around and, yeah, watched everybody else in bikinis, swim trunks, getting in and out of the pools, going through the water slides, the big giant one that's like, you know, all the way down. I literally remember distinctly standing on the tower or the platform above the Wild Wave and just hearing, yeah, and the waves just moving people back and forth. And I'm just like, damn, that looks like fun.
And from that day forward,
I don't want any surprises. Keep them to yourself.
Your mother has ruined you for a lifetime. All right, let's jump into some money saving techniques on shopping. I'm hoping everybody gets a chuckle out of this as much as I do.
Yeah. So what do you hold on? So the chicken and waffles evolved. I do want to say that the waffle iron we talked about last week,
yeah,
came in. It's amazing.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
It's amazing. It gets so hot.
And I imagine the round trip between waffle to waffle is super short.
Yeah. And even like honestly, when the temperature dips, the light comes on, I can leave it open. It never really dips. Yeah. Now, I'll give it a couple seconds to reheat up. So I'll spray it. And that spray that I got doesn't cake up on there.
Oh, nice. So cleaning is really easy.
Cleaning is super easy. It does have a drip tray. The handle, I did make a mistake. I wish the handle was a little bit longer because I got big, giant monster hands. And so, you know, I'm grabbing the ladle, looking at the ladle, and I should have been looking at the the waffle iron, the waffle maker. And I grabbed a little bit too far forward. And yeah, my hand started sizzling a little bit. And I was like, ooh, yeah, I got to be careful about that. So, you know, because the handle has a nice little, you know, plastic on it, but it only goes so far, right? The rest of it's going to be hot. And it was hot. So that's the only thing I would say is I wish they could make that a little bit longer. It rotates perfectly, cleans up well, heats up quickly, and it has a nice loud timer, old school click, 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 click. Generally, the instructions say to set it for 400 degrees, which they have it at, I think it's like around 198 Celsius. It has both. And then something like that. And then the timer, you know, gives you a nice loud ding when it's done. Pop it open. You know, deep crevices in the waffle. So the waffle iron is working great. And I'm really enjoying it. What are you working on? What are you smoking? What are you cooking this week?
Actually, today I'm doing I try to change it up. I smoked some salmon yesterday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just because the kids were eating something I didn't want. And so today I was like, I need to do something different. I haven't done fajitas in forever.
Mm.
So I decided before we were recording, I was slicing up chicken thighs into nice bite-sized pieces for fajitas. Cause I hate when I go to a restaurant and the fajitas are like long strips of chicken, long, thick strips of like onions and green peppers. I want them to be more like, I want to be able to bite and pull out that piece. Mm. So I don't want, obviously not diced onions, but if you take an onion, you split it in half and you cut it, you kind of get like that half moon shape. I want to cut that half moon shape in half so that I'm not pulling out long piece of onion, long piece of green peppers. So
sure.
I started the chicken in the marinade with like the cumin, the garlic powder, the chili,
mm-hmm.
the lemon. So that's all marinating. And I'm going to give that about at least an hour, if not 2 hours, to marinate and get those flavors together. I'm also doing, so I'm doing chicken, steak, and shrimp fajita. So I know that now I can have three cooking zones. Mm-hmm. I can have the shrimp that's got its cooking zone, the steak that I'm going to get to like probably about a medium consistency.
And you're doing them on the Blackstone?
Oh, you bet it. Absolutely. The Blackstone is coming out to put some work in today.
And you did end up with the big one, right? So you got plenty of space.
I got plenty of cooking space. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, then what kind of oil are you using?
I'm a huge fan of avocado oil. So it's very neutral. You don't really get a taste. I mean, you can use canola as well. If you don't have avocado, go to canola. It's
has a higher smoke point. Yeah.
And it's a very neutral oil. You don't pick up flavors from the oil.
And if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about with a smoke point. So oftentimes when you know, you want to put a nice sear or saute something, you know, if you use like olive oil, cause you're trying to be healthier. The problem is olive oil has a bit of a higher smoke point. So you can't turn the heat up too much or the oil literally starts to burn. And then you start getting all this plume in the air. So when we refer to the higher smoke point, it means it's, you know, it can get to a higher temperature before that smoky plumey, you know, starts to happen with the oil. So, and that's why a lot of restaurants use, you know, vegetable oil when they're frying their french fries and stuff, because that has a very high smoke point as well.
Yep.
Okay. So it sounds good. So you got the three zones, you got your carne, you got the pollo.
And yeah. And I'm going to do a Monterey Jack cheese sauce. I have fresh avocado that will, if you want to put those on your fajitas, you can do that. I have a guacamole, which again, I said I didn't feel like making a guac quickly because I'm trying to put things together. I have corn tortillas. I was going to make those from scratch, but I was like, I'm running out of time. So I just went ahead and I have corn and flour. The kids tend to like flour, but I was like, I'll put some corn because I can quickly heat those up and you can fold those together. I think they go really well. And then last but not least, I have obviously a salsa if you want to just add some additional layers of flavor. But I think the cheese sauce will be something, a little welcome piece in there.
Blackstone's still paying dividends.
It does, man. It's a good thing because when you think about trying to cook three different types of meats, I know that I can put my veggies here and get those kind of going and sauteing, and then I can split the veggies among the different meat types, or I can just leave the veggies by themselves and you can grab the veggies, the meats, you have the cheese sauce, you have the guacamole or the avocado, and they can assemble. Like it will be at our table. I'll probably keep the veggies separate so that you can pull what veggies you want. You can pull what you want. Now you won't be able to say, I just want onions or I just want this. The veggies will be mixed together, all the different peppers and onions. So mm-hmm. you'll if you want to pick through, have at it. But the meats will be fully separate so that you can choose that I want chicken, I want steak, or I want chicken and shrimp, or I want steak and chicken. Like you can do any combination you want. That's at least the goal. And then the toppings will be all sitting there separate. I usually let the kids figure out what it is they like. They throw it together and we go from there. So I think
I didn't hear any sour cream in the mix.
Of course there's sour cream there.
All right. Just making sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Greek yogurt substitute.
Yep. It's a good substitute.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's jump into cost savings. We've been rattling on here for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, so one of the things we realize is we talk a lot about where we procure our food from, how much food we procure, because we, you know, we put on a lot of events throughout the year. But of late, I've been paying strict attention to the cost differences between the foods. And so we wanted to make sure people took into consideration if you got an event, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, Christmas coming up, who, you know, football seasons are ending. So people got banquets going on, potlucks, I'm sure. So, you know, some of the things that we noticed to start looking at, we want to make sure we pass that stuff on to everyone else. So the biggest thing is, as I've been experimenting with the smoked chicken and waffle, the first time I went in there, I was like, I grabbed a package of chicken, didn't pay much attention to the price of it, but it was like $4.89 a pound. And I was like, at the moment, it didn't register to me whether that was expensive or inexpensive as far as chicken thighs go. But I got it, cooked it, everything was great. So when the next time I went to the butcher, I just happened to ask, because Rod and I were actually talking about pricing. And when I asked the butcher, they were like $1.99 a pound. And I was like, well, geez, that's a significant difference than what I paid at the store at Wegmans. So what is going on? Okay. So when I went back to Wegmans and I realized that what I had grabbed was the organic chicken. Which is fine if that's what you want. But if you're, you know, you're doing a large event, probably not the best use of your money to buy that. Unless that's just, you know, something you're actually going for. But it was a significant difference between organic and just regular at the butcher at $1.99. So the next step for me was I went to Costco, because obviously if you're buying anything in bulk, you just got to go to your local, you know, warehouse store, like a Costco or a Sam's Club or whatever. When I went to Costco, I was taken aback because their chicken was like $1.80 a pound. And I was like, and that was boneless. And what I'm talking about is boneless and skinless. Okay. Which makes it easy, because all I got to do is just trim it a little bit and put, you know, season it and put it on the smoker. So the fourth time that I went back to Costco, because now
you don't learn the first time through, do you?
Well, it's not even that, right? I was like, okay, let me scrutinize everything that they're offering, right? Because, you know, you know what happens in this, I guarantee you've probably done this as well, is like, I need to go get thighs. So you go into the store, you see thighs, you grab thighs. You don't necessarily say, well, how many different variations of thighs are they offering? You may, but I'm willing to bet a lot of people don't. And I didn't. You know what I mean? So now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, holy cow, there's at least four different variations of thighs that they offer. You know, you got your organic, you got your boneless and skinless, right? And then what I started finding was the bone in and skin on was $1.49 a pound. So by
to be clear on this, you can go organic with the bone and the skin, organic, boneless, and skinless. So you can't get like skin and no bone or bone and no skin, for example.
Yeah, it's usually – I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. It's usually skinless, boneless, or skin and bone, not half and half.
All right, so both organic and non-organic, I'll just say it that way, or we call it regular. with the injected stuff, the stuff that has growth hormones in it. So you're either going boneless, skinless, or you're going
that's not fair to say. We don't know that has growth hormones. It can be naturally raised, just not organic.
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
So the two combinations are organic, boneless, skinless, or non-organic, boneless, skinless, and then you have both organic and non-organic with bone and skin.
Right.
Yep. Okay, cool.
And then so when I started looking at it, I was like, man, so let's say I'm planning a large event. And so now I start weighing the options. Is it worth my time to get the bone in and the skin on and then remove it myself? Or it can that time that it takes me to do that be better served, you know, prepping something else because the thighs are ready to go right out of the gate?
So, sorry, really quick, just for the cost difference, like if you walked in and said, just give me non-organic chicken, bone and skin, you were talking a $1.49 a pound.
Yeah, let me double check. Hold on, because I think I have it written down.
I think the interesting thing is like it's like trying to understand how these prices kind of cascade on yourself. Because I think when you go with non-organic, which is going to be cheaper than organic, and then you go bone and skin, I think the problem we all run into is you don't see the combination. I always will look at prices because I'm stupid like that. But I do, when you start at $1.49 a pound for one, and then you say, okay, well, now I want boneless, skinless. Typically, that jumps up by like almost a dollar a pound. Yeah,
there's definitely not a linear where it's like, you know, a couple of dollars more to get this. You know what I mean? It was kind of jarring to see that, that difference in price when between one and the other.
Yeah, because I think when we were talking about it, it was like, okay, well, and the problem you run into is like most people, the knee-jerk reaction is, well, it's only a buck more a pound. But it's like, yeah, but wait a second. If you get a pound of chicken at $1.49, you know, you're not usually buying a pound. You're usually buying like a pound. It's a pack that's 3 pounds. So it's like, all right, so now I'm at $3, for example. I'm at $4.50 for 3 pounds of chicken. But if I up that by a dollar – It's not a dollar. It's a dollar per pound. So for those 3 pounds, it went from $4.50 to $7.50, which in and of itself doesn't sound like a lot, but I'm not getting more food.
Right. And it's the same amount. Right. It's a
trade off you're doing.
Yeah. So that's one thing we wanted to point out on this episode is, you know, it could be totally legit. So what I'm looking at right now. Yeah. So the boneless, skinless thighs were at Costco were $2.99 a pound.
Okay.
Fed vegetarian diet, raised without antibiotics. I just want to point that out
to
you.
That's not organic though.
No, it's not organic. Yeah, but I'm just telling you. So that was, you know, so $2.99 versus $1.50 a pound, right? So that's a serious conversation as to whether you want to, you know, pay the VIG for them to do the work for you or not. And, you know, it's not for us to decide whether it's okay for you. Now, what I will say is what I ended up doing is I really started thinking about it. I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I really need to understand, you know, Rod and I were talking about it. I was like, I need to understand what is the actual trade-off. Like, is it hard for me? Like, if I wanted to prepare 50 chicken thighs, you know, is it going to take me like a whole hour to remove the skin and the bone? And I'm going to be honest with you, as we always are, removing the skin is nothing. Nothing. Removing the bone, little bit of artist work.
Yeah, but if you're doing something like I was doing, like today, fajitas, mm-hmm. it's not a big deal, because if you butcher it, it's like I got the bone out, but I'm making fajitas, so it's small pieces. When you're doing something more like
when you're actually trying to use the size as a presentation,
that
is a different angle that you have to consider. So I was essentially taking my sharpest knife, the one I trim my briskets with, my boning knife, and I was just running it along. There's only one bone in the thigh. And that's the quick way for a lot of people struggle to tell the difference between a thigh and a breast. And the reality is the breast has two bones kind of in an A shape, and the thigh has one bone, runs, you know, pretty much right up the middle or slightly off to the side. Just a little quick tip there. But when I was taking my knife and I was slicing basically on both sides of the bone, and then I was just kind of working it in and then cutting it out. And the first probably 10 of them that I did, I wasn't really happy with how well I did it. And I felt like there was a lot of meat left on the bone. But at that point, because I'm trying to use the chicken for, you know, as a full display, it didn't really matter what was on the bone. I didn't, I had no use to scrape it off and just, you know, and save that meat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I look and say, well, that I can quickly put that meat in a pot, bones in a pot, the last little bit, and I can make a stock off of that.
You can, yes. I'm not saying there's not uses for it. What I'm saying is,
I understand.
There's a certain, when you look at it, you're like, if I had just bought without the bone, I wouldn't be looking at this waste, you know what I mean, that I have to figure out what to do with. Is my only point. So, but what I did realize too is that was my first run, my first attempt to do a mass amount of thighs and remove the bones from. So I said, okay, let's give it another shot, because I was in the store, went back to Costco, was making another batch, and I was like, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to suck it up, because my nature is one done. I'm going to go with what's easier and more efficient. I said, let's suck it up again. So I bought another batch, $1.49 a pound. And this time around, I said, you know what? Let's see if we can find a better way. So I grabbed my kitchen shears and my, I believe they're Vitrionics. Let me just, I'll double check while I'm talking.
Yeah, they are. I know that for a fact. I've seen your kitchen shears.
And they're awesome. And what I did was I took that and I just put it next to the bone, tilted it about 45 degrees, and just snipped right along the bone. And it was like right through. Did the same thing on the opposite side. And what that allowed the thigh to do was kind of flap down and expose the bone on it. So I could hold it by the bone now. The two sides that I've loosened from the bone flap down, right? And then I just took the shears and went right under the bone at that point. And that was fast, efficient, and easy.
Yep.
So now I'm like, okay, now this totally makes this option viable for a large event, because I'm saving money and I can easily remove this, and I felt way better about what was left on the bone. I can still take whatever's left on the bone, like you said, throw it in a pot, cook off a stock, set that aside, make a dope soup at some point or something else. But at the end of the day, I was really happy what it was. So what we're trying to tell you folks is, you know, you definitely, for large events that you're putting on, especially in, you know, with, you know, the way prices have changed quite a bit, pay attention to what the cost is, but why the cost is there, right? So if you buy, you know, is it, you know, if you buy a whole rack of ribs, you know, is it worth it for you to pay the extra amount, get the full rack, and then cut it into a St. Louis cut yourself? Or is it just better to get the St. Louis cut right out of the gate?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's not, if you have a sharp knife, it's not hard to locate that top bone and then just run the knife straight down and remove the riblets portion of it. And then, because what I'll do, I've done it many times where I may get the whole rib, remove the riblets, season up the ribs one way, and then, you know, treat the riblets almost like a burnt end, right? I smoke it separately, season it differently.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll cut it into little pieces, throw it into a pan with some barbecue sauce and put it back in the smoker and cook that off by itself. You know what I mean? So, you know, so it's just something to pay attention to through your cooking process. Now, I'll also say this, what I found so far is there, you know, when you're cutting the chicken, you know, make sure, you know, this is, we're big proponents of getting your utensils, your tools sharpened. You know what I mean? If you can afford it, have two sets. So you can have one set sharpening while the other set is in use. I'm actually going to start, you know, buying some more knives here soon. But on top of that, be careful when you do, especially if you, you know, you want to experiment and do thighs like I did. There is a little cartilage at the top that you can miss. It's like at the cap of the bone. And when I was eating my chicken and waffle that I was testing, I noticed that like I'd left a little bit of that cartilage. It's not hard to chew through, but it's not the same experience. So it's kind of jarring if you're chewing the meat and then you hit this little cartilage that's like has a crunch as opposed to, you know, just eating. So I would just say be careful if you do it yourself. That's not something I ever ran into when I bought it already taken care of and cut, but I did miss a couple. So I'll just probably dip in a little bit more when I cut the ends off, but I would definitely venture. I mean, if you're better with a knife and I'm not bad, try it. But the shears made it super easy and super efficient to do.
I did, like, honestly, for the fajitas tonight, like I say, I did exactly what you did. I bought bone in, skin on thighs for the fajitas. I 2 seconds ripped the skin off. Yeah. I did a quick trimming
like
to get that.
Hulk, you're like, ah!
It took, like, I mean, on a thigh, it's super easy, right?
Yeah, that comes off like super easy.
Yeah, it's like, okay, skin is off. I did some fat trimming around it really quick, and then I negotiated the bone out. I did the shear method, which is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I was able to get the bone out. I was like, all right. Now, mind you, I didn't cut it like a surgeon. but I knew that I was dicing it up small pieces. So how I butchered it wasn't really important.
Yeah.
Was there some bone left or skin left on or meat left on the bone? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Did I get it out quickly? Yes. I went through about 8 thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And you had went to get coffee. So from between the time when you ran out to get coffee, mm-hmm. got back home, and sent me a link, which was maybe, 16 thighs, which was maybe about a 20-minute window. I was able to debone, skin, trim, and dice 16 thighs that fast. Maybe it was 12.
Yeah.
12 to 16, somewhere between there. I was moving quick because I was like, all right, we got to record. Let me get my stuff done.
Well, here's a question for you, right? So you did 16 thighs that quick. What if you had to do 100 thighs and you had other things to prepare?
Yes. And that's where I think that's where you start asking yourself,
what's your line? Where's the cutoff?
Where's the cutoff? Like if you're doing 16 and you're like, all right, that's 20 minutes and you're looking at saying 100, well, you know, you got to multiply that out. I might now be an hour, hour and a half just deboning and you're going to get tired. So you're not going to do an hour. It's going to be like, you're probably going to be 2 hours in. You might say, yep, I'm willing to pay double the price because you said from $1.49 to $2.99. I'm willing to pay double the price for the meat
to get that 2 hours
back. And and that's the question, because if you know that you have a big, like if I know I'm doing a barbecue this weekend, it's mm-hmm. a big party. I might say on Monday I'm going to do some deboning, get these prepped, they're gone, and then Tuesday I'm going to do a little bit more, get these prepped. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday I'll do them. They're just in the fridge, ready to go, and I can marinate. I can get them ready for where I want them to be, but I might do my prep work over a couple days if I know that it's a big party on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like quote last minute planning where I don't have a lot of time, then yeah, I might exchange my dollars for time, but. It would also be different if you were, I'm making it for a friend and they're paying for the food. Well, it's their cost. So I was going to say, I'm going to save my time. If it's if I'm doing it where it's a profit line, like you're running like a business, again, it's that way off between I can do this in 2 hours, but I'm still going to charge the customer. But I'm still going to charge the customer as if I bought the deboned with no skin. Like,
yeah.
Right. So that's how I guess I look at it.
Yeah. So, and this same conversation holds true if you're just doing like whole pieces, right?
Yep.
Because you can certainly go to the grocery store and buy, you know, quarters, eighths, or whole chickens. So it is not difficult to buy a couple of whole chickens and cut them yourself. You know what I mean?
It's not hard.
It's not hard at all. And you do save quite a bit of money in for, you know, if you're doing something quick, yeah, it may make sense to just grab you chicken already cut up and ready to go. But, you know, once you start looking at, okay, I'm trying to save, I'm not trying to spend ridiculous amounts of money on this thing. So, you know what? I'll take the 5-10 minutes to cut up, four chickens. That's still 64 pieces when you're done, but it didn't, it still cost you a lot less to buy the whole chicken than to buy the individual pieces. So these are the type of things that we're starting to notice, especially with the holidays coming up and, events that we want to cook for.
I try to point out to my kids when we go to the store, I say, all right, let's take this. What you want is that you want some chicken that you can just quickly grill and throw into or tortilla or something like that, so that you can have like a tortilla. You can put cheese on it, a little bit of onions, and you're going to go. So you want me to, you walk in and my kids say, could you buy the chicken cutlets? I'm like, yeah, I can if you're freaking lazy. I could buy you some chicken. And the problem is
those chicken cutlets actually taste good. You know what I mean?
They're looking for the raw ones.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the ones that are already cooked, which is even still.
Yeah, but again, as you stage up, if I buy you a chicken, boneless, skinless chicken breast, just to make it easy for you,
right.
I've already paid more money because they deboned it and they took the skin off for you, which I could do and then prep it. So it's in the freezer and you can just thaw it. Like I can do that part, but I paid a premium just to get you boneless, skinless. Now, if you want the cutlets, which is where all they did is take that boneless, skinless and sliced it. I'm paying for somebody to slice something, which we're all capable of doing.
Right.
And then now if I want it cut, deboned, remove the skin, sliced and cooked, I'm paying an additional premium for you to season and cook it for me. And that's where I try to show my kids. It's like, you got to ask yourself, and it's, I joke when I say this, how lazy are you?
Right.
Because you're parting with your money so that you can save your time. But sometimes you might say, well,
sometimes it's worth it. So yeah,
sometimes it is.
It's not a one-sided, one size fits all.
Yeah.
Sometimes your time is worth it.
Yes. But I would say for example, with my kids, I will buy the chicken breast. I know what you want to do with it. So for you, I will remove the bone. I have the breast. I will slice it up. Now I put those in freezer things and now they're frozen. So when you know what you want to do, you can just go grab your package of the chicken. You know you want it seasoned your way. They're never going to get to the point where they want it pre-cooked. They always want to season their own stuff. God, at least I got that in their freaking heads. Mm-hmm. But they'll now season it and cook it and go. And I'm like, I saved money by just allocating and to be fair, like if I'm doing it for my family and I know that my kids are going to be doing this over, let's say, the course of a couple weeks, I might only buy, like I might buy a family pack of breasts. And then debone them. So it's like, I might spend 20 minutes doing that and it's worth the cost savings I got. But the additional thing that I forgot to mention is family packs, which I think, because when you went to Costco, you're looking at the price, but that's a family pack price. If you were to try to just get four thighs, the price is higher just because you didn't go family pack to spend more. It's like, there's all these combinations that if you take a couple minutes while you're paying attention to the grocery store versus saying, oh, it's only $4. Let's move forward with it. I think there's some really cool ways you can find to save money.
Right. So just some tips we've been running into, that we felt would share with the podcast with the holidays, early little holiday prep, I guess, things to kind of pay attention to. for sure. So, listen, if you guys want to join the other folks supporting the show, by all means, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/SMR podcast. We appreciate all of the folks on there helping us out, with the cost of running the show. If you want to join the conversation, as I mentioned earlier, come on into that Discord, come on in, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Instagram, wherever you want, wherever's easy for you, wherever you are, we want to be. And, please, continue to like, share the show out. And let me also mention, we've been taking older episodes and putting them on YouTube. So if you get a kick out of seeing our facial expressions, during, some of the chats that we've had, I'm starting with the older ones, just to get some practice and, kind of learn how to edit a little bit better. So hopefully each one gets a little bit better. We'll get to this season soon enough and get those up on there as well. Especially when you can see Rod laughing at me on this particular episode. So anyway, anything else, brother?
That's it, man. I think this is a wrap.
All right, cool. You guys have a great day, and we'll see you on the next one. We out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.